They called it the war to end all wars, alas not. But it, if horror had been the scorecard, it should have been.
Yeah, I think, I mean, when you read any novels or any nonfiction, or when you see those grainy documentaries about the First World War and learn what those soldiers, which who were for the most part, you know, teenage boys in their early 20s, what they went through, it's that's a great challenge for a novelist in a way, because you can't really find words to describe that at all. I do think the Second World War, in a way, is an easier novel, is an easier subject to write about. It's clearer in its in the way that one can describe it. It's also clearer in its morality, and it's easier to kind of define who's the bad guy and who's the good guy and what's the central evil of the war. The First World War, I think, for most people, is slightly more fluid in that sense. People don't know as much about it, they don't understand it as much, but they do know that to have fought in those trenches was to have endured a horrific experience.
Is it a book about heroism or is it a book about cowardice?
I think it's a little bit about both in a way, because to most observers at the time, the character of Will, the conscientious objector, who was one of the two central characters of the novel, would have been seen as a coward. And certainly to for his family back home in England, the way they're treated by their fellow villagers and townspeople is to suggest that those people believe that their son, their brother, is a coward. Will is not a coward. He does something incredibly heroic, which is stand up for what he believes in, put his guns down to the point where he feels that somebody needs to take responsibility for a certain act that has gone on. And Tristan, the character at the centre of the novel, certainly believes himself to be a coward. I mean, he's a young man who commits an act at a point in the novel which haunts him for the rest of his life, which he can never come to terms with, which damages the rest of his life completely. And he, as well, though, is willing to fight for something that he believes in, which is love. Love with another boy at a time where it's not only frowned upon, but it's actually illegal. And so, I mean, I think that these two boys are actually quite heroic characters, even if those around them would feel differently. And the third character, of course, Marion Bancroft, the sister of Will, is absolutely forthright in her bravery. She doesn't care what anybody thinks. She will say what she thinks when she thinks it, and damn the consequences.
Tristan, the narrator, there were times I really liked him, and there are times I just despised him.
I set out to make him a complicated character, a difficult character, somebody who struggles emotionally with his life and with his sense of right and wrong. And in that sense, he's probably no different than anybody else in the world today. I mean, we all struggle with those things. Tristan behaves well at times, he behaves badly at times, so do I. I didn't write him for the reader to either love or hate, or admire or despise. I wrote him to be real, you know, that you would be ambivalent in your feeling towards him. You would be uncertain about how you're supposed to feel about him. He certainly commits acts which are heinous at times, and he commits acts which I think are terribly brave. He doesn't know what to do. He's a young boy who has no experience of life, of the world. He has no family. He has nobody to look up to, nobody to guide him in his journey. He's making it all up as he goes along, and he's doing his best. And if at times, because of that, he lets himself down, well, that's just life.
The structure of the book, it's one day.
Yeah, it's I mean, it opens with Tristan in 1919, the year after the end of the war, traveling from London to Norwich to meet the sister of the boy to whom he was closest during the war, and who, as we learn in the opening pages, has been shot by his own side as a conscientious objector. And most of the novel takes place in Norwich with Tristan and Marion simply walking the streets, sitting in coffee shops, talking to each other, while Tristan tries to unburden himself of the story of what took place there and of the great secret that he holds within himself. Now, for an Irish writer, to write a novel set in one day is is something of a challenge because, of course, it's been done before. And, you know, I was a little nervous about doing that. But I challenged myself to that because I've written a lot of novels which are quite epic in scope and which take place over vast number of years. From my first novel, which takes place over 256 years, to the previous novel to this, which takes place over about 80 years. And I wanted to pare it all down a little bit. You know, I wanted to just simplify things. There's really only three characters in this book who matter in any way. And, you know, I liked the idea of long sections with two people talking to each other, having no idea what they were going to talk about, how their relationship was going to evolve or change, knowing nothing other than Tristan is damaged and Marion is damaged. And they've never met before this day. They have one thing in common, which is a boy that they both loved. And what's going to happen? How is it going to develop from there? And I found that those sections very interesting sections to write, very challenging, very enjoyable at times, because Marion, particularly her voice, she changes a lot as the story develops over that day. She's nervous at times, she's aggressive, she's warm, she's tender, she's suspicious, she's
confused even at one point. Confused. She keeps muddling his name up.
She does, yeah. She doesn't know how to approach this young man. You know, she is helping soldiers who have come back from the war, but she also hates those soldiers for what they've done to her brother. So she is a young woman who is completely confused and traumatized about her place in the world, and she's simply trying to muddle through like everybody else is. And I imagine there was a lot of young people in 1919, as I imagine there was a lot of young people in 1946 who were trying to muddle through and make sense of the experience of the last few years.
The book is The Absolutist novel. I've been speaking with the author, John Boyne, and The Absolutist, published by Doubleday Canada.